Human by Zona Gale. Pretty soon the new old Christmas will be here. I dunno, but it's here now. Here in the village, we give out time and again that our Christmas isn't going to be just trading. Not many of us can call it shopping yet without stopping to think any more than we can say made for hired girl real easy, and just an exchange of useless gifts. So in the new way, little by little, the old Christmas is being uncovered from under the storekeeper's Christmas, till at last we shall have the Christmas of the child in the manger and not of the three kings. And then we're going to look back on the romance that Christmas had through the long time when meanings have measured themselves commercial, just as we look back now on the romance of chivalry. And we'll remember all the kindness and the humor of the time that'll be outgrown, even though we wouldn't have the time come back when we looked for Christmas in things, 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 and sometimes found it there. The week before Christmas, the Friendship Village post office near closing is regular bedlam. We all stand in line with our presents done up while the man at the window weighs everybody else's and we almost drop in our tracks. And our manners, times like this, is that we never get out of our place for no one. Not for no one. Only once we did. Two nights before Christmas that year, I got my next to the last three packages ready and stepped into the post office with them about 7:30. And at the post office door, I met Miss Holcomb. That was Mame Bliss. She had a work bag and a shopping bag and a suitcase, all of 'em bulging full. "My land," I says, "you ain't going to mail all them." "I am, too," she says. "And I'm that thankful I'm through, and my back aches that hard I could cry." 21, she says grim, 21 presents I've got made out of thought and elbow work and mighty little money, all ready to mail on time. "Now," says she, "I can breathe." "Can I carry your satchel, Miss Holcomb?" says somebody. We look down, and there's little Stubby Mosier that's 7, and not much else to say about him. He ain't no father, nor much of any brother, except a no-account one in the city, and his mother has just been sent to Worcester Hospital by the Cemetery Improvement Sodality that is extending our work to include the sick. We'd persuaded her to go there by Stubby's brother, promising to send him to spend Christmas with her, and we were all feeling real tender toward Stubby, because we'd just heard that week that she wasn't going to get well. "Well, Stubby," says Miss Holcomb kind, "yes, I'll be obliged for a lift, if not a lug. You will?" she asks. "Yes'm," says Stubby, acting green like a boy will when you ask after his health. He picked up her suitcase and moved over toward the line. It was an awful long line that night that reached way round past the public desk. In ahead of us was most everybody we knew, Abigail Arnold, Miss Merriman, and Libby Liberty, and old rich Ms. Wiswell, with a bag of packages looking like they might be jewelry, every one. And every one of them was talking as hard as they could about the Christmas things they couldn't get done. "Might as well settle down for a good visit while we're waiting," I says to Miss Holcomb, and she made her eyebrows sympathize. No sooner was we stood up neat and in line than in come three folks that was total strangers to me and to the village as well. One was a young girl around 20 with eyes kind of laughing at everything, dressed in blue, with ermine on her hat and an ermine muff as big as one of my spare room pillows, and three big fresh pink roses on her coat. And one was a youngish fellow, some older than her, in a gray cap, and having no use of his eyes, being they were kept right close on the lady in blue. And the other, I judged, was her father, a nice jolly private Santa Claus, in a fur-lined coat. They were in a tearing hurry to get to the general delivery window, but when they saw the line and how there was only one window for mail and stamps and all, they fell in behind us as nice as we was ourselves. "Let me take you out and you wait in the car, Allison," says the youngish man, anxious. "Hadn't you better, dear?" says her father, careful. "Why, but I love this," she says. "Isn't it quaint?" And she laughed again. Now, I hate that word quaint. So does Miss Holcomb. It way sounds to us like last year's styles. So though her and I had been looking at the three strangers that we saw were merely passing through in an automobile, like the whole country seems to, with some interest, we both turned our backs and went on visiting and listening to the rest. "I've got three more to get presents for," says Miss Merriman, in that before-Christmas conversation that everybody takes a hand at. "And what to get them, I do not know. Don't you ever get up a stump about presents?" "Stump," says Libby Liberty. "I live on a stump from the time I start till I stick on the last stamp." "I got two more on my list," Ms. Wiswell says, worried. "It don't seem as if I could take another stitch nor buy another spoon, batten, or paper knife, but I know they'll send me something." I stood looking at us, tired to death with what we'd been making, but sending them off with a real lot of love and satisfaction in them, too. And I thought how we covered up Christmas so deep with work that we hardly ever had time to get at the real Christmas down underneath all the stitches. And yet, there we were, having dropped everything else that we were doing just because it was Christmas week, and coming from all over town with little things we had made and standing there in line to send them off to folks. And I thought of all the other folks and all the other post offices in the world doing the self-same thing that night, and I felt all kind of nice and glowing to think I was one of them. Only I did begin to wish we were enough civilized to get the glow some other way. "I guess it's going to take a long time," says Miss Holcomb, patient. "Stubby, you needn't wait if you've anything else to do." "Oh," says Stubby, important, "I've got a present to mail." A present to mail? When Sodality had been feeding him for 5 weeks among us? Miss Holcomb and I exchanged our next two glances. "What is it, Stubby?" asked Miss Holcomb, that is some direct by nature and never denies herself at it. He looked up kind of shy. He's a nice little boy when body has any time to pay any attention to him. "It's just this," he said, and took it out from under his coat. It was about as big as a candy box, and he'd wrapped it up himself, and the string was so loose and the paper was so tore that they weren't going to stay by each other past two stations. "Mercy!" says Miss Holcomb. "Leave me tie it up for you." She took it, and in order to tie it, she had to untie it. When she done that, what was in it came all untied, and she and we both of us see what was in it. It was a great big pink rose, fresh and real, with a lot of soaking wet paper wrapped around the stem. "Stubby Mosier," says Miss Holcomb straight out. "Where did you get this?" He colored up. "I bought it to the greenhouse," he says. "I'm a-gonna shovel paths till the 1st of March to pay for it. They give me one path ahead for postage." "Who you sending it to?" says Miss Holcomb blunt, and I kind of wish she wouldn't, because the folks right around us was beginning to listen. "To Mother," says Stubby. Miss Holcomb near dropped the box. "My land," she said. "Why didn't you take it to her? You're going tomorrow to spend Christmas with her, ain't you?" Stubby shook his head and swallowed some. "I ain't going," he told her. "Ain't going?" Miss Holcomb says. "Why ain't you going? I'd like to know, when you was promised." "My brother wrote he can't," said Stubby. "He has had some money to pay. He can't send me." He stopped and looked down on the floor as hard as ever he could and swallowed like lightning. "Well, but that's how we got her there," Miss Holcomb says. "We promised her you'd come." "My brother wrote he can't," Stubby said it over. Miss Holcomb looked at me for just 1 minute. Then her thoughts took shape in her head and out. "How much money has Sodality got in the treasury?" she says to me. 46 cents. Says I, "that's treasure and drove to death for a fund for us." "How much is the fare to Wooster?" $3.55 each way, says Stubby, ready but hopeless. "My land," says Miss Holcomb. "They ain't a woman in Sodality that can afford the $7, nor a man in the town'll see it like we do, and no time to raise nothing. And that poor woman off there." She stared out over the crowd kind of wild. The line was edging along up to the window and still talking about it. "Elsie and Mame, that I haven't sent a thing to," Miss Merriman was saying. "I just must get out and find something tomorrow, if it does get there late, but I'm sure I don't know what." "Disappointed me last minute on 2 Irish crochet collars," Ms. Wiswell was holding forth in her voice that talks like her vocal cords had gone flat, same as car wheels. "I've got company coming tomorrow, and I just simply will have to let both presents go if I stay awake all night about it, as stay awake I suppose I shall." Miss Holcomb looked over at me steady for a minute, like she'd seen a thing she couldn't name. Then she kind of give it up and went on tying Stubby's package. And just then she see what he'd wrote for a Christmas card. It was on a piece of wrapping paper, and it said, "To my mother, I can't come. Merry Christmas, Stub." "Merry Christmas," Miss Holcomb says over like she hadn't any strength. Then all of a sudden, she stood up.